The following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program are Dennis Morris of KLEM and Lamar's and Mike Hohenbrink with the Calmer Courier. Dennis, you can start us off with a question for Senator Grassley.
Good afternoon. First of all, I guess I'd like to ask you, talk to you a little bit about the Supreme Court nominee hearings. We know that Senator Graham has scheduled October 22nd for that vote. It's imagined that it will probably be split right down party lines, so Republicans in favor and Democrats opposed. I guess my real question is your thoughts about the treatment of how the Democrats have treated Amy Barrett and how it compares to that of the last nominee, that of Kavanaugh, Judge Kavanaugh.
Well, it wasn't as bad as Kavanaugh because I think they learned a lesson from Kavanaugh. They fought him so badly and four incumbent Democrats lost for the Senate, and they didn't want to make the same mistake now because they hope to take over the Senate, which I don't think they will. But that's a lesson learned. So they couldn't lay a glove on her from the standpoint of qualifications. So all they could do is kind of ridicule her for doing what every Supreme Court justice has done since Ginsburg, when she said she couldn't answer a question because it might involve a case coming up. That's the Ginsburg rule, no hints, no forecast, and that's the answer she gave. But they seem to be disgusted with that sort of an answer. But when the impetus for it came 30 years ago from Ginsburg, how could they say anything? And they knew better. But that's it. She's going to be confirmed out of committee, 12 to 10, go to the floor Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, at least by Tuesday, a week before the election, she'll be approved for the Supreme Court.
Okay.
Oh, I should call Mike. I'm sorry.
That's fine, Senator. With regard to the upcoming vote, do you see any possibility that some members of the Democratic Party might actually break ranks and vote for Comey Barrett?
Well, there should be three because she got three votes going on the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals from the Democrat caucus, but she won't get any this time. Let me answer that another way, is showing how Democrats feel about any Democrat that might show some understanding of her qualifications. And you can't believe how Senator Feinstein's been attacked just because she told Senator Graham that he conducted the committee well. And she even, they kind of had a little hug afterwards. And they just said, outstanding Democrats said she should never be leading the Democrats. Now, how is that for party loyalty? How is that for camaraderie? How is that for civility? And so, you know, they're going to show the same incivility towards any Democrat that might vote for her. Dennis?
All right, Senator, thanks again. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi had indicated, it kind of made a threat, if you will, if you want to call that, that the House, and I realize different side of the chambers here, but the House has allowed the White House only 48 hours of negotiations for COVID-19 payment. And I was wondering, what have you been hearing in Washington? Will we be able to see some type of a vote take place on another COVID-19 relief payment before the election, or are both sides trying to hold that until after the election?
I think she wants to play politics with it, thinking that the president's going to be blamed if they don't get an agreement. And I think I've seen a poll that show more people blame her than blame the president of the United States. But regardless of that, we're going to move ahead in the next 4 hours with the vote on the Senate floor on a package that parts of it come out of what the White House has been negotiating with Pelosi, parts that have no disagreement, helping small business to keep their employees on the payroll, helping K-12 education because of the virus, and giving them money to handle some of their increased costs, and then money for testing, and then money for the distribution of vaccines once we get a vaccine approved. These are all things that both Republicans and Democrats agree on. Now we'll see if the Democrats will let us get this bill up for vote. We're going to have a vote tonight, but if we don't get 60 votes, this bill will never come. So if the Democrats don't give us at least eight Republican votes, seven Republican votes, seven Democrat votes to get to 60, then you can see they're playing politics in the United States Senate as well.
Senator, with regard to a different topic, the discovery of a laptop allegedly linked to a member of the Biden family, would you have any thoughts on whether this could actually throw things into a bit of disarray? Could the Senate be involved coming up into an investigation?
Yeah, I think we ought to call in Facebook and Twitter for hearings because they're censoring freedom of the press. And the question for the Democrats are whether or not Democrats are willing to hold people accountable for constitutional violations of freedom of the press. And you know, Twitter and Facebook block news coverage of Hunter Biden and his relationship with foreign nationals. It could be China, it could be Ukraine, could be Kazakhstan, Russia, I don't know how many other countries maybe. And, you know, they're saying that there might be Russian disinformation, but Director of National Security today said that there was no Russian disinformation, and he's in charge of our intelligence. And, you know, it's kind of chutzpah for the Facebook and Twitter to say that this might be disinformation to keep it off when they were super spreaders of Russian disinformation, which we now know the Steele dossier was. And they were willing to let that thing spread Russian disinformation for a couple years before we finally made the point. So big tech is trying to interfere with the election because they have an anti-conservative bias, and we shouldn't let that stand. I think back to Dennis now.
All right, Senator, with the election coming up, and I guess I go back to the days when Tim Russert was still alive and he had his white board and he was marking down all the delegate counts and that type of thing. How, and given the fact that Iowa traditionally has been pretty much evenly split Republican and Democrat, and the latest polls indicate that split still continues with Trump and Biden, how much of a role will Iowa play in deciding the ultimate decision as who will be elected president?
Yeah. Well, maybe the best go back to the re-election of George W. Bush. Iowa was one of the two states that changed from voting Democrat in 2000 and back to 2004 went for Bush. And it was enough to give him a majority of the Electoral College. And so I think it plays a very prominent role in it. And I think Trump's going to carry Iowa, but it's not going to be by the 9-point margin he did 4 years ago. Mike?
Senator, with regard to following up on the matter with Mr. Biden, do you see any possibility that the Senate could become involved down the road if information comes to light with regard to Mr. Biden and Ukraine, specifically with some of the allegations?
Well, right now, it could lead to that, but right now there's talk of Chairman Graham having a hearing and calling in Facebook and Twitter, and I just think that nothing will happen until we get that hearing out of the way. Back to Dennis.
Okay, I'm just going to leave you have the last word on what you would like to comment on, Senator.
Okay. Well, I think you're going to see a real brilliant person put on the Supreme Court within the next 7 or 8 days. And I think you're going to find Democrat reaction to that by packing the court. And packing the court means increasing it from 9 to 10, 11, 12, 13. And I think 13 is reasonable, because if there's going to be a 6-3 division between conservatives and liberals on the Supreme Court after Barrett gets on, then they would have to put on 4 liberals to give them the balance they want. It's not speculation that they would be willing to pack the court, because when they didn't have enough liberals on the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals back in 2013, they put 3 liberals on there, and in order to do it, they had to change the rules of the Senate to get it done. So they're going to do whatever they can to make sure the Supreme Court fits their pattern of what a court's supposed to do. They legislate. Instead of interpret law, they make law. So liberals like it because they can't get a lot of their weird ideas through the Congress of the United States. So they take cases to the Supreme Court and get existing law interpreted to their political predilections. Mike?
Senator, a lot of interest is currently focused on the race between your fellow Senator Joni Ernst and her challenger, Teresa Greenfield. With millions being spent on this race, any thoughts on why this particular race seems to be so much of a focal point right now?
Well, there might be 5 in the country you could put in that category, maybe 6 or 7. But it's because the Democrats are doing everything, pulling out all stops to get Democrat majority in the Senate, and Iowa's one of those states where they can do it. So there's over $100 million dollars of negative advertisement against my colleague. And so Greenfield hasn't even campaigned in half the counties in Iowa, where for 6 years Joni Ernst led people to know that she wasn't going to forget any part of the state by going to each of the 99 counties every year like I do. And can you believe that they're saying she's against Social Security, wants to privatize Social Security? Let me tell you, if the senior citizens of this state of Iowa knew that how scared 535 members of Congress are to them, they aren't going to touch that third rail of politics that you call Social Security. They'd be laughing at all those jokes, because in 6 years, Joni Ernst has never had a single vote to privatize Social Security. The issue hasn't even come up. Not a single vote to cut Medicare or Social Security has ever come up. So you can see what lies there are in those negative ads. But, you know, they seem to be working. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a 47-47 race. Joni Ernst would be running away with it. But Greenfield wants you to think she's going to represent Iowans. Let me tell you, when she gets to the United States Senate, she's going to dance to the tune of Schumer, just like 46 other Democrats do right now, and maybe even in the vote we have tonight on a CARES package. Thank you both very much for participating.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Dennis and Mike, for participating in today's Public Affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.